This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
It's the best basketball party anywhere.
I think Biddle will be an equalizer because of how well he's been playing lately. But when Oregon is at their best, they are knocking down threes.
Live from the Stadium Sports Bar at Alena Sportsbook, George McCoy and Warren Allen Attorneys at Law presents a Fan Madness edition of Danny and Dusty. Hurt and missing work? Insurance companies acting like jerks? Don't call your mom. Call George McCoy at WarrenAllen.com. Alena, make every buzzer beater, bracket buster, and Cinderella run mean more at Alena Sportsbook. Fan Madness is also brought to you by Video Only, where you always get the best deals on top-rated brands of TVs and home theater, and by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Enjoy responsibly. Fan Madness from Alena on 1080. The Fan.
Two here on Danny and Dusty, live on location at the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill inside the Alena Casino and Resort. We are headed to halftime of Duke and Mount St. Mary's, and Duke damn near covered the spread in just the first half alone, up 54-28. We'll do a quick scoreboard recap as we're efforting getting Tyler Rucker of No Ceilings on here. If we can't get a hold of him, we will pivot and we will go with some Blazers basketball as they are also underway tonight. Colorado State currently has a 7-point lead over Memphis, 12-seeded Colorado State over 5-seed Memphis, 68-61, 3:35 to go in that game. 10-seeded Vanderbilt over number 7-seeded St. Mary, 16-13. Just over 7 minutes to go in the first half there. Coming up here in about a half hour, we will tip off for Grand Canyon and Maryland. And the play-in dominance of North Carolina will be put to the test by Ole Miss as 11-seeded Tar Heels take on the Running Rebels, 6-seed at 105, so that about 3 minutes away. Despite being an 11-seed, North Carolina is currently a 1.5-point favorite.
I'm already on tilt about North Carolina. I bet against them. They absolutely whooped up on San Diego State. I fell too much into the conversation of North Carolina doesn't deserve to be here and didn't listen enough to they're playing a Mountain West team and they are horrible in the tournament conversation. So you got to make sure that when you're listening to conversations, when you're picking your bets, and that was a nice three there by Colorado State. They're up by 10 now. When you're picking your bets and you're picking through your bracket, you got to make sure that you listen to the right conversations and not the wrong conversations.
The great part about when you get into final 2-3 minutes here at Sportsbook is the live totals.
Yes.
They get adjusted a little bit, and somebody might have one thing one way or another. I may or may not have got in at Colorado State -1.
Ooh, I got them at -1.5.
Ooh, even I'll take my minus one.
I think your one is better than my 1.5, and that's not often that people will say that.
That's true. Sometimes smaller is better. But everybody always wants that .5.
I've been told that, yeah.
Hey, sometimes you got to have a hook.
I hope not.
Hopefully we will be able to get Tyler Rucker here in the next segment. So we're going to pivot to the NBA real quick as the – oh, there we go. We do have Tyler. Perfect. We are now joined by Tyler Rucker of No Ceilings ahead of the – well, not ahead of the NBA draft, but taking a look at NBA draft prospects. Tyler, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Thank you guys for having me on. A beautiful time of the year with March Madness.
Thanks for taking some time away from us. I know it's a busy time. I just wanted to get you away for a segment because I know you were furiously grinding tape, and I wasn't going to have you come on and talk about the backup point guard for a 16 seed. But maybe I'll hit you with a backup big for 15. No, I'm kidding, man.
You're good.
As we take a look at the tournament right now, day one, day two, I mean, obviously it feels like the biggest storyline of the tournament so far outside of the McNeese upset is that Cooper Flagg's ankle ligaments are indeed made of rubber.
Yeah, exactly. I think we were all expecting Cooper maybe to be sidelined for a couple games, but, you know, that's the type of guy he is. He's known as a well-oiled machine that likes to compete and wants to be out there. So if he was even going to be at 70% or 80%, I think he was going to be trying to do everything possible to play. So he's a special talent, but it's good to see him back out there and, you know, obviously have a good day so far.
As I look through my bracket right now, I'm also going through No Ceilings' latest mock draft on your guys' website. It's a fantastic site. I'm noticing that you have at 2 and 3 two Rutgers players, but on my bracket, I don't see Rutgers. How could Rutgers have two players that are going to go 2 and 3 and not be in the tournament? Please explain that to me.
You know, I think that's the number one comment we always get when it's like, wait, they had two of the top prospects in the whole country and they didn't make the tournament. You know, it's a little bit of a tough one. They've had a tough team this year. You know, Dylan Harper is one of the more talented guys in this class, and he had a bad flu. I think lost about 15 pounds, but Ace Bailey's another talented player. It's just, you know, sometimes we all have to remember, like, hey, you need depth. You need some pieces around, and it's just one of those. It's a bummer because they would have been sensational players to be in the tournament, but got to look other ways.
Tyler, the Portland Trailblazers have won three in a row now. They are now two games out of the play-in, but they're also a game out of being the eighth pick having the eighth best odds at the number one overall pick, the eighth worst team, as it were, in the NBA. So there is this very large window for the Trailblazers right now when they're talking about what potential pick they could be looking at. If they have the eighth best odds, they have a roughly 25% chance of moving into the top four. If they end up making the play-in but not the actual playoffs, they could end up anywhere basically between, you know, 3 and 12. Obviously, the top three guys right now, while for the most part not unanimous, are pretty damn close with Cooper Flagg at 1, Dylan Harper at 2, and Ace Bailey at 3. When you look at this Portland Trailblazers team, outside of those three guys, in that 4 through 12 range, who is the player that you think fits best with where this team is headed right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where it's always tough for a fan base when you're like, hey, we're rebuilding, we're building through the draft, like, when are the wins going to come? And then all of a sudden your team's getting on a little bit of a hot stretch to end the year, and you're like, wait a second, one more year we can wait, you know, we want to get a better pick in this draft class. This draft is going to be strong. It's very top heavy. I think you get to one point where there might be a little bit of a drop off, but for a team like Portland where, you know, they're doing there's so many routes you can go with the rebuild. You can try to speed it up and make some trades and be aggressive, cut corners if you want to stay that way, or you can do the long route, which I think Portland's doing, and is drafting, developing your talent, you know, being patient. With this class, I think they've got a really, really good chance to add another great piece. They can go in so many different directions. I personally just think they're building a great roster, and eventually you're going to have to make some moves and clear up some direction. But, you know, I don't know if Trey Johnson, you know, a lethal shooter from outside, he's at Texas, will be on the board still, like, but he could be a name. Yige Edgecombe, I think, probably, if they climbed up there, could be an option. But, you know, it's just Portland's roster with Scoot, Simons, Shaedon Sharpe, a lot of guards in there. So I don't know. I think Liam McNeely or Tonson Nipple could be guys I'm a little lower on, but, you know, if Portland did make that play-in, they might make some sense just with their outside shooting kind of size and position versatility. So there's a lot of
what's your hesitancy with Con, Tyler?
You know, it's one of those things where I was a little cooler with Con throughout the year, and then you kind of – it's funny because Cooper Flagg, his teammate, was just kind of taking the basketball world by storm with how good he was starting to play. And you kind of quietly forgot, hey, Con Knipple's, you know, shooting high 40% from the field and mid-40s from three and 90% from the line. You're like, he's been playing great. So the more I watch Con Knipple, the more I'm impressed, the more it's just a solid guy that, hey, it might not be the highest upside, but those are the guys I think take teams from, you know, kind of being, oh, we're trying to get into the playoffs. So like, hey, maybe you're going to be in the playoffs now. You know, maybe it's taking a team that he's not going to be making a team all of a sudden go from bad to great, but you might get better in a hurry. It might be that next step forward. So it's just one of those players, like, the more I watch Con, the more I'm like, okay, I'm impressed. I'm seeing something.
If I'm a Blazer fan that wants the Blazers to miss out on the play-in, I think that the route to go is still build through the draft, continue to build up that young talent that they have. What are some teams that I should start watching here on the tournament to get a look at possible rookies that the Blazers might take in the draft? I see right now on Noah Ceilings, you guys have Asa Newell, obviously the big man out of Georgia. Can't watch Georgia anymore thanks to Gonzaga. But what are some other teams that I could watch to look at some potential adds for the Blazers?
You know, I think Duke's obviously going to be easy for everyone, so I'm going to try to steer away from that. You know, Maryland today, with we've got Derek Queen, who's a talented big man. Now, I know the Blazers fans are going to hear this and be like, we've got 15 bigs. I get it, guys. I completely understand. But, you know, I'm a big Donovan Klingon fan. I thought they hit a home run when they got him. But Queen is a little bit smaller, but a very gifted playmaker. And I just can't get the idea of, like, oh, my gosh, what if you had them on the court together at the same time? So it might be a little bit unorthodox, but that's a name I would keep an eye on. You know, maybe in their range, Oklahoma with Jeremiah Fears is, and again, like, just a talented player. If Portland was in love with them and said, hey, we're just going best player available, we'll figure everything else out. Really talented guard, super young, but again, it's just funny with this Blazers team. They're building so much depth, and eventually you're going to have some overlap, but Illinois is also another one. Kasper Jakaćonis, Will Riley, two freshman players, one guard, one forward, really talented. So the Blazers are kind of in this range where there's still so much uncertainty of, like, hey, a guy could be up this high or be a little bit lower. So it's going to be interesting to kind of see who makes some noise the rest of this tournament.
Tyler, I was talking to a front office executive the other day, and he asked me about some guys. One of them is wrapping up a game right now at Colorado State in Neat Clifford. He asked me where I had him. I said, I think I've got him 15, 16. He says, oh, you really like him. Talk me out of Neat Clifford. How? I don't care that he's 22 years old. I don't care how many years in college basketball he has played. A guy that averages nearly 20, 10, and 4 in college basketball, shooting 50, 40, 78. Why are people so afraid of seniors in the NBA draft?
I can't talk you out of him. He's probably one of my favorite guys in this class. So I knew I was going to like coming on the show. No, Neek is – I've loved Neek as a prospect since last year. This is a guy that was at Colorado before, transferred to Colorado State. He had a great year last year. I thought he could have been like a guy that snuck into the first round. Decided to go back and – I literally just caught up on all of his tape, and I was like, oh, my gosh, he's taking a huge step forward. I mean, I've even talked to a couple teams. One executive was like, told me a couple weeks ago, he's like, you know, that Neat Clifford's my favorite sleeper. And I was like, sleeper? You better wake up. He's not going to be in sleeper range. Like, he's making a lot of noise right now. That's a guy that I think it might shock Blazers fans. But, like, it wouldn't surprise me if a team like Portland is like, hey, we have the youthful pieces. We love Neat Clifford. You know, maybe they're picking a little later, or maybe they can move down a little bit. Those are the guys that kind of, you know, all of a sudden get things really interesting. Like, Kamani Kamara has now made the Blazers like, oh, their ceiling went up a little higher because they found one here. You get a guy like Nate Clifford along him. Whew. So I love him. He's one of those guys. It's the quickest evaluation I watch because I get done with the tape. I'm like, whew, this was fun. I don't have a lot of complaints here, so I'm a big fan.
Tyler, who is one player not in the tournament right now that, despite not playing, whether a college prospect or an international prospect, that is going to either show up at the combine or, for whatever reason, is going to get that heat between now and the NBA draft?
You know, I think for sure Fleming's a guy that I'm keeping an eye on. But it's probably one of my favorite prospects that I just can't get the idea of him ending up in Portland. It would be like kind of a, I like what the Blazers are doing with building this identity. They're starting to get some nastiness and some defensive mentality. And Rashir would just be like another, like, oh, here's another fun piece of the puzzle. He's lengthy. He's had a great year. He could shoot the three ball. He looks like a 6'9 defensive end from the NFL when you see him in person. Like, he's just a scary human being, but I think he's got like a...
He comes from the Noah Vonleh lab of builds.
Oh, yeah. It's one of those, but he's stocky and built. Like, he's gonna shock some people when you see him in person, and he's very lengthy. He's a good defensive player, but so you get that 3-and-D, like, just another piece. I think he could start to buzz a little bit. You know, Nick Clifford, we just talked about. Overseas, I would say Noah Essanay, I think, could start to buzz. He's been with Ratio Farm Ulm. He's going to be one of the youngest players in this class, but he's about 6'9". I think Portland's history of taking these lanky forwards with upside, maybe he could come into the picture. So, yeah, it's a couple different options. Combine's going to be very interesting this year because there's a lot of teams like a lot of these guys in that range, but they're just wanting to get some more answers. So there's excitement, but there's also like, hey, we still got questions.
Tyler Rucker from No Ceilings. Hey, man, thanks for joining us. I know you guys are heading out here for Hoop Summit in a couple weeks. We'll have you guys probably pop in studio and see what comes out of Hoop Summit this year as there are a couple of monsters not only returning but coming in for the first time. It'll be fun to dive into those with, what, a month away at that point in time until the NBA draft lottery.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for having me on. Happy to do it anytime.
Hey, appreciate you, Tyler. All right, coming up next, we will dive back into the NCAA tournament. We've had a couple games go final. We will take a look at the brackets and dive into some games getting underway here next on Danny Dusty, 1080 The Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are live on location at the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at the A&A Casino and Resort. We'll order in for Dusty Hera down in Mexico. Going to Mexico! He duffed the kids.
Well, yeah, it's someone's birthday is what I was told. And when you're going down to Mexico, you can't bring the kids for someone's birthday.
Yeah, no, I... My wife just got back from a trip to the Gulf of America.
Oh, is that official?
Oh, yeah, it's official. Like, it was funny.
My textbooks were wrong.
My wife took pictures while she was there. She's got an iPhone.
Yeah.
All the pictures are tagged in the iPhone as it's Gulf of America.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Oh,
Apple
yeah.
works fast. So is he on that side? So is he on the Cancun side?
He's Cabo.
He's in Cabo. That's the one part of Mexico that I haven't gone that I know I need to go. Like, it's on the list.
Oh, yeah. No, look, it's going to be a great time. I just booked the summer vacation as we are in radio, and that is what we do. We take summer vacations. I will go to Barcelona, or Spain, Greece, Turkey, Malta, and Italy.
Are you doing, like, a cruise, or what's going on here?
We're doing a cruise. It's a 12-day cruise.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot.
I'm jealous. I've always wanted to go to Greece, but I'm also, like, a big, like, Greek mythology
nerd.
Oh,
that's
So look, where in Greece are you going?
All over.
Like, okay.
We'll hit different parts.
Both sides of the country. You have to hit Athens.
Oh, God,
though, right?
No. Yeah, it's the first place you land.
Okay. Good.
Yeah, Thessaloniki. We're going to hit all over it. So my love of reading actually started because of the Odyssey.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So you're really upset right now at the Twitter photos.
Well, look, man, if Christopher Nolan goes out there and screws this up, I will burn that man at the stake.
I feel like, though, as far as directors go, look, he's probably number one or number two on who you would want with the Odyssey.
I need him to Batman this thing.
Because you don't want...
I need him to Batman this thing.
Right.
But if he starts, like, trying to retcon the Odyssey, a 3,000-year-old piece of literature, I'm going to kill him.
He goes full Zack Snyder.
Yeah,
it's in black and white.
If you Zack Snyder this thing, I am going to find you, and I'm going to kill you.
What would make you madder if instead of Christopher Nolan doing Odyssey, it was Zack Snyder or Michael Bay?
Look, Michael Bay would just be a lot of lens flares.
Michael Bay would be a lot of explosions somehow. He would find a way to work in Dynamite and Optimus Prime into that movie.
I mean, you could be like Optimus
and Mark Wahlberg.
I mean, oh yeah, you're definitely getting Wahlberg somehow, some way. It's like, oh hey, it's Mark Wahlberg again.
Like, how'd you get in there now?
I mean, there's something short they could kind of learn him into. You know, I could work with that.
Mark Wahlberg would be fine until he became the number one guy, and you did a whole rebrand of the Odyssey Part 2, Electric Boogaloo, and it's like, I don't know.
Look, I am a little interested when that casting first came out.
I think Matt Damon's a good cast for that, though.
No, I do, too. And then they brought in Spider-Man, Tom Holland.
That's right.
Yeah, and it was like, you know, they did the movie, the remake of the video game.
Uncharted. It was a good movie.
It was fine.
Yeah, but, I mean, you weren't going into there like, can't wait to see if this wins an Oscar.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
It was good.
The only game so far that has been turned into an effective movie or show is The Last of Us.
Yeah, that's been really good. What was the one with...
Because Halo they butchered, unfortunately.
Well, Halo was never going to be good. But there was another... The Resident Evil. Resident Evils aren't good, but they're not bad. That's a quality, like, Saturday morning, still a little hungover, flip on TNT movie.
Well, I mean, me and Olmos Jovovich, we have a bond.
I was going to say, I wanted to try and figure out what her name was, and I knew I wasn't going to do it, so I just went away. I stayed far away.
Fifth Element did a little something to 14-year-old Danny.
She's a fantastic actress. She gets me to watch those movies.
Multipass.
I still don't know what's going on. I don't know how she's still alive, yet everyone else changes, but...
T-Virus.
I know, and there's zombies, but they're not all zombies. I don't understand.
It's out there.
As far as movies go, though, it could be worse for video game movies.
It could be worse. Let's do a little check-in here before we dive into Blazers basketball. We do have a couple games that have gone final here early in the morning. Baylor pulls the, air quotes, upset, but also manages to cover, barely.
Thank you, Baylor.
75-72, Baylor knocks off Mississippi State. So, SEC... Another one goes down. Iowa State, despite missing their best player, takes care of business against Lipscomb. Number three, Iowa State, take care of business against Lipscomb, 82-55. A little scare for number two, Alabama. They are able to hold off number 15, Robert Morris, 90-81. and the books get it right as 12-seeded Colorado State gets the natural upset, but the unnatural upset as they were a 12-seed favored over number 5 Memphis. They win 78-70. Not only do they get the upset, they also cover. Tonight's game, well, obviously for the local folks, will feature number 12 Liberty against number 5 Oregon. That spread is holding steady at -7.5.
Seems a little high for my taste. Still probably going to side with Oregon over Liberty. Like, it just feels like we've seen this before. I know it was football, but Oregon versus Liberty, there is a clear talent difference, size difference. I think Oregon should win. There's something weird about late night tournament games. Weird things happen.
Oh, yeah, no.
Late night in the tournament.
It definitely becomes a lot like the Pac-12 after dark.
100%. Weird things happen. Lots of missed easy buckets happen early in the tournament. Lots of weird upsets happen late in the tournament. You don't want to be a one seed playing a 16 seed and have the second to last game. I mean, like last night, Texas Tech against UNC Wilmington. There was no reason that game should have been as close as it was. Did you look up how many three-pointers Texas Tech shot? They set a school record with 53 three-pointers.
Is that good?
Well, not when you make 12. Not when you make 12.
Mm.
And they're actually a pretty decent three-point shooting team. Still made 12.
Still managed to figure it out somehow, some way. All right, coming up next, we are going to dive into our worst day on the web. And it's actually a revisit from a story about a year ago. We have an update to one of the crazier Olympians turned criminal masterminds as... we have an update to the FBI's most wanted list. We'll get to that next. But first, here's the Big Kahuna, the Sports Center update.
I hear they got some tasty burgers.
It's time for today's worst day on the web. With Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Well, that sucks.
I want to say a little more than a year ago, we had this story about this former Olympic athlete, a man named Ryan Wedding, and how the police and FBI were after him for numerous crimes. Well, fast forward to today. Actually, I want to say that this happened last week is when it officially happened. Yeah, I've had this one pocket for a couple of days. He has been added to the FBI's most wanted list, the 10 most wanted list, which means he's up on the big old billboards that you see around the country. He's also been updated with a $10 million offer from the U.S. State Department.
Hey, he's doing better in the FBI's most wanted than he did in the 2002 Winter Olympics. I've got his stats up right here.
Did medal.
24th. Yeah, that's not good enough to medal. I don't know what you get for 24th participation trophy, maybe.
Wedding, who's also known as El Jefe, public enemy, and James Conrad King.
Also Giant. I like Giant.
There you go. It's not too bad.
Giant's my favorite.
But he's been charged with murder and other drug crimes, which have been also augmented and supplemented in September with an indictment that alleges the Wedding and others arranged the shipment of some 60 tons of cocaine a year using long-haul semi-trucks to move the drugs between Colombia, Mexico, Southern California, and Canada. 60 tons.
I love
120,000 pounds.
On Wikipedia, it has his occupations listed. It's like snowboarder, drug trafficker. Like, they don't even try and hide it. This guy, he started out in 2006 with some large quantities of weed, and he has now graduated to the more dangerous stuff.
Well, I mean, the powder jokes write themselves.
Well, I mean, it does probably fit well for his occupation as a former snowboarder.
Some fresh pow-pow.
He understands what to be looking for when it comes to powder, the softness, the texture, whatever.
You know, you just got to...
He knows where the good stuff is and the bad stuff
You know, hit a few bumps, snow hills, you know, just get it done. But look, we love it when a worst day circles back and gets to live their dream. You know, that you've gone from small-time crime boss to on the top 10 most wanted list. That's an impressive come-up.
I just want to know, like, how he got involved in all of this. Like, he was a legitimate
You want to know how a snowboarder got involved with drugs?
No. The cartel. I understand how snowboarders got involved in...
It's not that long of a trip.
I understand. Snowboarding is the winter equivalent of the skateboarder. They're the same person. They're the same thing. I watch Rocket Power.
No.
I get it.
No. They have more money, which is why
you think?
Oh, God, yes.
But I think they spend more money, so they lose it.
No.
Because skateboarding's free.
Yeah.
It's the people's sport.
Yeah, no, look, man. The snowboarders, they all have more money. And that's why they... Which means they buy better drugs, which means they get better drugs from people that are probably further up the chain.
I figured out where his issue lies.
Mm.
He went to this garbage school called Simon Fraser University. A heated rival of one Central Washington. That is what his issue was. He was corrupted in a non-fine establishment in Canada. When you go to Simon Fraser, and feel free to Google it, not when you're driving, it looks like a penitentiary already. So he was like, I am already used to living in a terrible place, going to a terrible school full of never winning any titles in any kind of sport. And then he just decided that since he's used to living in a penitentiary and being a piece of garbage, to just become a true blue piece of garbage for his occupation. This is what happens when you go to one of the lesser GNAC schools.
Wow, That's what this is coming down to, huh?
They're cowards. They got rid of their football program. If they kept their football program, this guy might not have turned to a life of a crime. Football
saves lives.
It instills good morals if you don't go to Georgia.
Yeah, I was going to say, the long list of football players that have never committed any crimes.
There aren't any football players that are on the top 10 for the FBI's most wanted. Probably.
I was going to say, I was like, are you sure about that?
Probably. I don't know. Pull it up. Who's on there? Bet you it's not a lot. Like, you're not going to see Antonio Brown on there.
You know what?
You're not going to see any NFL Hall of Famers, probably. Possibly.
I am actually interested in how many, if a football player has ever been on that list.
Well, hold on. We didn't say if ever. We said right now. We can't move the goalpost.
I mean, look, we're slandering the snowboarders. I'm just saying.
I'm just saying that you would never catch one of the great Central Washington Wildcats on there. We're probably like 5 or 6 deep on the top 10 great people list.
Do you think there's ever been a Central Washington graduate on the FBI list?
No, I don't think so. We're pretty good.
Slight pause.
No.
Slight pause.
I don't think so.
Had to go through, like, we've never had a serial killer, right? Huskies.
Well, see, that's... that certain serial killer you are alluding to, there is a Central Washington victim from him.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Yep.
So there is a tie there. But, I mean, at least you're...
But we're the victims.
It's not a good tie either way, no matter how you slice
no,
it.
No.
Maybe, but I shouldn't say no matter how you slice it.
Yeah, especially with him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Probably not appropriate. That's okay. I forgive you. As a Wildcat and a proper human being, I forgive you. Central Washington would never do anything bad.
Quick little story on the FBI's most wanted list.
General Mathis was a Wildcat, by the way.
Oh, there you go.
Just so you know.
No, there you go.
We're good. We rock.
Not my favorite general, but it's
very,
okay.
Very humble.
The FBI list has led to almost 500 captures since its inception.
But how does that work? Like, are people... It's, like, slightly better than the back of a milk carton? Like, people are looking and they're like, bad guy. That guy.
Pretty much, yeah.
Like, who uses... Do you remember when they used to play that TV show, like, super late at night?
Yeah.
On, like, Saturdays?
Yes.
I remember watching it.
Also, like when you go to the post office or any, like, government building.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they have
them all plastered?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that shows you how many times I go to the post office. But, I mean, how many times are you walking by, like, looking at a picture and like, oh, my God, there's number 6.
I think, I mean, it's not even that. It's like, did I just see that guy? And honestly, those tips come in, and then all of a sudden they have a radius to search in, and then...
But how many times do you think you see a guy, and then you're like, oh, that was not that guy? I think I see guys all the time.
I feel like that's a drop there.
I said it, and then I let it go.
Nice and clean.
Okay.
But hey, that's our worst day on the web. We love to see our come-ups for our criminal masterminds.
I'd like to see him get caught.
Yeah, especially for $10 million.
Come on, Burnaby.
Sell him out.
Come on, Simon Fraser. You're making the GNAC look bad.
What's your best friend appears on the top 10 most wanted list?
Well, how much money?
That's what I'm saying. How much? What's the sellout price?
Oh, it's probably lower than what's he'd be worth on the top 10. You might be talking top 50, and I might throw him down, you know?
Wow.
Like, ah, that guy. Go
so,
get him.
$1 million?
Well, because, I mean, if you're $1 million worth, like, let's say you're my best buddy, he's top 50, $1 million worth. He probably did something that deserves it. Like, I'm not going to sit there and defend it.
Well, I'm not saying you have to defend it, but I'm like, look, this is your best friend.
So I'm supposed to aid and abet him? That's not how Central Washington Wildcats roll.
Oh, no.
We're not narcs, but we don't put up with
crime. You're neither aiding nor abetting, nor supporting. You're not reporting.
I think I report.
For $1 million?
Depending on the crime, because he probably did something pretty bad.
Let's say he is, let's go Chiefsaholic.
Chiefsaholic?
He's a bank robber, but he's never actually put anybody in harm.
Are we sure he's never put anybody in harm?
I'm giving you the caveat.
Let's see.
He's robbing banks. Let's go a little Robin Hood action. He's robbing the rich here. And
well, if he's giving to the poor, then no, I'm not, because he'd be giving to me. But if he's just robbing
So you
people,
would aid in a bed.
No. I'm just saying I'm willing to accept money that I don't know where it came
from. We found the loophole, ladies and gentlemen.
Is it a crime for me? You wouldn't arrest someone who is driving the criminals away from the spot.
Yeah. Yeah, you would.
Oh, Michael Scott fails me again.
Yes.
The getaway driver?
Yeah, definitely.
Look, I'm just saying.
Getaway driver, unless you were held against your will, is, yeah.
I think I could say I was held against my will. I was scared. Mm. I was nervous. Were you in the car with me? No, you weren't. But I don't think any of my best buddies would do that.
But also now your friends are getting you, they're getting more charges added because they kidnap you.
Then is it fine? You're going to jail anyways. If you're on the top 10 list, you're going to jail for life.
Okay.
You don't go to jail on the top 10 list and then be like, yeah, well, this guy got out.
Well, I mean, you could go end up like working for him.
Well, actually, now that I say that, didn't the guy who shot Reagan get out? He's out.
Yeah, I think you're right.
By the way, he had to have been top 10 on the
FBI. Which is crazy to think about.
He releases music on YouTube.
We talking about like,
Yeah, Hinckley, right? That's his name?
Yeah, I know, but we talking about like when we're talking about music, are we doing like
he's like a SoundCloud
Colts
like,
pregame music?
I don't know, I've never listened to it, okay. But he's like a he's up there, like he sings. I know he sings.
He sings, he says confidently. All right, I can confidently say that Last Chance U coach Jason Brown is very unhappy with Netflix, as he is now asking for a lot of money after he says that they distorted his image. We'll do that next year on Danny and Dusty, Today the Fan. Wrapping up hour number two here, Jason Brown, the former coach at Independence Community College, otherwise known as Last Chance U, has filed a $30 million lawsuit against Netflix. Why, you ask? Well, he says his image has been distorted by the way Netflix cut and edited the documentary / sports framing tool of the junior college world.
Blame, deny, say it was others. Blame others, say it was others.
Yeah.
You twisted my words. I didn't actually say that. This guy sucks.
He does suck, and he says they distorted his image, and it depicted him as an abusive tyrant, and he is seeking $10 million in lost income, $10 million in reputational damage, $5 million in emotional distress, and $5 million in emotional distress after the suit argues producers cut, pasted, edited, and distorted footage to depict him as a volatile, abusive tyrant for their financial gain.
Here's what I would ask him.
I don't know, man.
Here's what I would ask. Do you think that Netflix twisted it when you texted your student manager that you were his new Hitler?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think that they changed his wording there.
Well, especially since the text came out. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe the text was out and shown.
Yeah, oh, no, that's what I mean. Like, we've got it.
Netflix twisted that.
Yes.
It was actually the Netflix producer that sent that. Oh, wait. No, it wasn't. It was you. I hate this guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's the worst on Twitter, too. He's just like, pick something that 90% of people believe in and then just go the opposite. He's the ultimate zag guy, and it's always about the worst things.
And for those that are wondering about the Hitler comment, he had a German player on his roster, and it was a new player. The local newspaper reported that he told said German player, "I am your new Hitler."
Literally what he said, because the I think the kid was late to something. He didn't show up to something.
He was mad. He said at the kid. This mother bleeper's late. Blah blah blah, and then it led to that.
He's such a piece of garbage. Like, but every time that he can be wrong, he's wrong. Though, like, money came out to players who had issues after concussions, and he'll say, "Oh, they were being soft." Money players are getting paid in NIL now, and he'll come out and say, "They shouldn't be paid money anymore. The players are getting soft." I think if he had his way, he would still have Bobby Knight out there throwing chairs at kids.
Which, I mean, every now and then a kid may or may not need a chair thrown at him.
I disagree.
Coward.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Coward.
You know what? I'm going to stand up on my soapbox. I will not throw a chair at a college kid anymore.
I think it's the younger ones you need it done to.
Again, not going to throw that as a substitute teacher. No, I won't. I disagree.
The same coach was charged with 8 felonies for allegedly impersonating a lawyer in an attempt to send cease and desist letters to the newspaper over the reports about the Hitler comment. Those charges were dismissed in 2021. However, Coach Brown is not the only person to sue Netflix over Last Chance U. Just last month, 6 former EMCC players also filed, conveniently, a $30 million lawsuit against Netflix for allegedly withholding compensation for their part in the show's success and for allegedly forcing them to consent to be filmed for the show. So that is a combined $60 million worth of lawsuits headed Netflix's way.
Are any of them even going to win it, though? He shouldn't get a dime.
No, but I can imagine there being some sort of settlement out of this where they get something.
I can see that with the players. Just, hey, settle. We'll give you a little bit, and then just go away, be done. He shouldn't get a dime. He's a piece of garbage. You know what it is? Because remember, the first season of Last Chance U, he's just himself. The second season, he starts building up on the things that made him just a horrible guy. But it's what made weirdos love him. Because he was a big deal after Last Chance U. To the point where, like, he was getting paid to appear on TV shows. He was getting paid to talk at clinics. This guy became a big deal for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
I hate this guy. He's just trying to get money because he wasted all the rest of it. He probably spent it on those stupid cigars that he's always smoking in the show.
Well, he also launched a whiskey brand that also went defunct.
Oh, he had his own Big Baller brand?
Basically, yes.
This guy's a con man, but he was a con man to get those kids to come to that school, too. He went out and told them that, "I'm going to be hard on you, but I'm going to get you to the next level. I'm going to take you from Independence Community College, and you'll be at D1s. And he was just a jerk. None of his stuff was like coaching. I didn't listen to him and go, "Man, he's a tough coach," but at least he helped build them to be a better player. If anything, he ruined a lot of those players. That's the guy, like, when Sue gets mad about college coaches
about
football coaches.
Yeah, that's this guy.
That's this guy. Because at least with some of the guys who are hard, you know what, you know, they'll come out and they're going to be tough on you. They're going to yell at you. They're going to scream. But they're still going to try and do what's best for you, or at least try and push you to the next level because it'll be what's best for them.
Mm-hmm.
Coach Cal is notorious for this.
Sure.
At Arkansas.
Getting guys to the NBA.
He's hard on those players. He's yelling. He's screaming. But they always go to the next level, and they seem to take a step forward. Patino has a little bit of this in him as well. Maybe a little bit more, actually, where he's going to be hard on guys, but he helps them get to the next level.
Four white guys in a gym.
Right. He's hard, yells at them, beats them down a little bit, but he helps get them to the next step. It doesn't feel like, in fact, I know that's not what this guy does. This guy's in it for himself, and he's just a grade A you-know-what jerk.
Oh, yeah, and the hilarious thing is Brown alleges he had a 6-figure coaching offers to coach in both the NCAA and XFL. Let that settle in. The NCAA and the XFL that were later pulled because of his portrayal on the show. Oh, you mean the portrayal of you?
The you being an
you
absolute...
You being you?
You being an unhinged jerk? And guess what? You weren't going to get those jobs anyways.
And you never had those offers.
You weren't a very good coach.
Allegedly.
When you won...
Let me go ahead and you dodge a lawsuit here.
Dude, he won a lot of games because he had a lot of D1 bros.
Yeah, I mean, you have a lot of talent at junior college. Congratulations.
Yeah, cool. And a lot of the stuff that he had, he looked
very much to the side of a lot of those guys. There were a lot of guys that played for him after the fact that should not have been playing football. Period.
Oh, yeah.
No, for period.
For a litany of reasons.
All for second chances. You don't get 18 chances.
There you go. Yeah. Well, give us our 18th chance here coming up in hour number three. We'll dive into the Portland Trailblazers taking on the Denver Nuggets tonight. Well, at least what's left of the Denver Nuggets, and then we'll get to that and more coming up here on Danny and Dusty, 1080 The Fan.